God, you know what I love? Is when you can out-sing an electric guitar. I love that. That shows you got a little life left in you. You know, so many people want to die when they come to church. That's what they think. You know, honestly, when I die, I'm not going to be laid out in a church. That's what everybody thinks happens in church. Funerals. Weddings and funerals. Wedding's great. Funeral? You know what? Throw me in the barn. I don't care. I'm not there. You gonna put that in, buddy? All right. Oh, I tell you what, I will say this. I love this. I know, you know, when in between songs you can hear kids talking, and I love this. I want you to understand this. I'm standing back here and I'm watching. I'm watching Grayson climb all over his daddy like a monkey, you know, and Aubrey, she's over there just a bouncing on her daddy's knee. That is what life is about. You know, we worry so much. So many churches today send their kids off to a room immediately now. They aren't part of the praise and worship. You want to know why we're losing our kids? They aren't part of it. We're kicking them off. Well, the Sunday school teacher. No, mommy and daddy are the ones responsible. Praise God. It just does my heart so good to see the kids in here participating. You know, well, they're not really singing, Pastor. Well, who cares? I didn't until I was about 18, so come on. And I was in church for a long time. But anyhow, praise God. Well, let's bless the tithe and offering this morning, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for this day. And Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your life, Father, that as in each generation we can look down and we can see new life starting, Father. We pray that you bless that life. And Father, we present to you now our tithes and our offerings, Lord God. Bless them, press them down, shake them together, and cause them to run over that we may be a blessing to others as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning and super kids are dismissed. Well, I don't know how many people paid attention to Friday, but we started out with an inch of snow on the ground and was in short sleeves by the afternoon. Simply amazing. Welcome to Ohio. Ohio, exactly. Exactly. Oh, praise God. You know, if there's one thing, I mean, we try to come up with all kinds of excuses as to why it's doing this, why things. Listen, our weather patterns have always changed. Whether or not we had factories or nuclear power plants or anything else going on or cars, the weather changes. And I don't think we can have an influence on. Don't let me get you understanding that. We can keep our air cleaner. I have no problem with that. We can do certain things, but in all honesty, it's going to change whether you like it or not. So, well, praise God. Well, this morning I want to talk to you today a little bit about the Holy Spirit. I said something last week that we were going to maybe talk a little bit about it, and we're going to just kind of get some groundwork laid about the Holy Spirit. What's kind of fueling this is, be honest with you, I'm sick of seeing the Holy Spirit being abused. The Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit are abused when we think it's our job to control people with it. And it is not. You've heard me talk over the years about various things, about moves, people following moves. The moves of the Holy Spirit are great and they are real. Just because they didn't actually show up in our Bible does not mean that they never happened. Is there only one facet to God? We know God to be multifaceted, do we not? About the time you think you got him pinpointed, oh, you see him through a little different light. It's kind of like a diamond. There's multifacets. That's what a facet is. It's a face. You see it from a different angle. And the Holy Spirit is no different. But the truth of the matter is people are abusing the Holy Spirit, saying, well, the Holy Spirit did this. No, the Holy Spirit didn't do that. You don't walk around doing like this and call it the Holy Spirit, or slither around like a snake and say it's the Holy Spirit. It's weird. That's all that it is. Okay? I'll call it what it is. It's weird. And if people in my position don't start standing up and saying that's weird from the pulpit and teaching what is right, then everybody's just going to keep getting weirder. I mean, come on. I'm weird enough. I don't know about you, but I don't need any more help. But what I have learned the Holy Spirit to be is gentle, not condemning, not controlling. People want to, and everybody's worried about grieving the Holy Spirit, and they say, oh, and here's what they do. The Bible tells us not to grieve the Spirit when it's talking about tongues and things of that. And Paul says, do not grieve the Spirit. We've always interpreted that totally as in, don't quench him and grieve the Spirit. But what if he was also saying, don't grieve the Spirit by abusing these gifts? And we have done that so many times. I believe it was last week, when we prayed, and we had a group of people in here I knew who did not understand or were not familiar with the Holy Spirit in that realm. So I did not pray in tongues. From time to time, I will when I'm up here. But the main reason I don't is not because I'm ashamed of the Holy Spirit. But as Paul said, I'd rather speak 1,000 words that you understand, one word that you understand, than 1,000 in a tongue you don't understand. Because, see, the truth of the matter is the Holy Spirit is for me. That's what it's for. And when Spirit-filled churches, I think, get hold of that and they understand that, they will be so much more powerful. Because here's the problem. All we ever do is we get together and we think that's the only time the Holy Spirit moves. The Holy Spirit is moving when you're in the shower. I mentioned this one time to Pastor Dosak. I was over there and a bunch of pastors were sitting around and I never did get to ask him to clarify a little bit. But, you know, I just said, you know, the other day I had a something come up in my spirit, and it was just a heavy, heavy weight. And I knew there was something wrong, and I said, I had to shower, so I went in the shower, and I said, I'm praying in the Spirit. I'm in there washing my hair, and I said, I'm just praying and praying and praying. And I think he was just being rhetorical, I guess. He said, you can pray in tongues in the shower? I think he was just trying to get through to these other guys. You can pray anywhere. Yes. I just never clarified that with him, but it was like, well, yeah. And see, so many people think you got to come to church before you can pray. Listen, if this is the only time you're praying, you have a lousy prayer life. Okay, let's just face it. And I'm not talking just before you eat either. I mean, we've really made grace a religious, major religious. Like I said, we've gone from thanking God. Half the time we don't even thank God for the food because we're busy casting out the demons. And anybody who may have touched the food, and we bless them, and I, you know, praise God. If it weren't for the hands that blessed or prepared the food, I wouldn't be eating. Because majority of the time, it ain't these hands. Okay? So, yes, I want to bless the hands. But we've taken what the Holy Spirit has been brought about for good. And I believe we've hurt more people than we've ever helped. I'm thinking one got young man. Well, he was a young man then. He's older than me, but he was a young man. He got saved and got in with a group of charismatic people, and they took him out and they said, somebody said, God has put a gift of prophecy on you. And instantly his mind, he just got saved. Okay, now let me back y'all up a couple years on some of you. Think about that for yourself. When you got saved and somebody came up and said, there's a gift of prophecy on you. What did you think? Would you have thought? No. I don't even understand prophecy yet. And so this guy, they kind of started pushing him that way. They tried to push the gifts. You can never push the gifts. If it's not freely from you, that's why I do not sit up here, massage your jaws, trying to teach you how to pray in tongues. One person in this church has done that one time. And the person that they did it to, I lost. That won't happen again. I'm not willing to lose anybody because of somebody else's stupid religious tradition. You don't speak in tongues yet? I don't care. I prayed. It took me a while. Okay? And you can ask my wife. I am honestly one of the probably the biggest skeptics when I hear of a new move. There's a new revival coming to town. People are getting slain in the spirit. This is happening. Hallelujah, shouting. Why ain't you doing that in your church? Why are we not doing that in our church? That is where revival happens, not in a tent. Because I'll be honest with you, the most tents I was in, they always set them over. I don't know how they did it. They always found the low spot. And it always rained. So there we are sitting in those folding chairs sinking. But the Holy Spirit does not come to make us weird. It doesn't come so that we can roll around on the floor, run on the pews, do whatever else people think we do. And I have seen in some churches. That's not the purpose of the Holy Spirit. That's our reaction to it. Do you understand it? That's how we are reacting to it. Different people react to different medications differently. Drugs, alcohol, different people, it affects different people differently. I shared with a former, he's my boss, he was our shift supervisor. One time we were talking about drinking. Now, I was a Christian, I'd given my whole life to God at this time, but he hadn't, and he was just saying, you know, I think we actually sat with him at the Christmas party for the company, and I said, you know, he said, I don't drink, and I said, well, neither do I, and I said, you know, I figure there's two type of people that happens when you drink, lovers and fighters, and I'm not a fighter, so me and alcohol, we're not going to be getting along good anyhow, and he said, exactly, and he... Non-saved, never been, I don't know if he'd ever been to church, saw the exact same thing. And so it affects people differently. I knew guys, they'd get drunk, they wanted to fight. We had one boy in our barracks in Okinawa, he'd go out, he'd get drunk. He lived in a 6-man room. And as soon as he'd come back in on Friday night or Saturday night, you could hear that room come unglued. And next usually it ended up with half of our platoon getting involved. But we had to hear him cussing and taking swings and throwing stuff at his roommates. And they were drunk and they were fighters. And so the next thing you know, we're all out in the hallway. And it was usually him duct taped to a chair in his underwear. And I've got a picture of it to prove it. Hair and all duct taped. And him cussing us out up and down. It was a blast, I'll be honest with you. He was a fun one to do because he got angry and his beer muscles failed him very badly. There are some people, they get really, you don't know where it came from. But him, I mean, he thought he could take on the world and he just couldn't. And so it affects people differently. The Holy Spirit is the same way. It affects people differently. Some people, that's why the song, I Can Only Imagine, it really is such a great song. And for us to condemn somebody who's standing here just in peace and quiet, why aren't you shouting? Why aren't you dancing? Why aren't you rolling on the floor yammering in tongues? Is wrong. But it's also wrong for us to condemn the person who's dancing. It's, just say it, it's Nunya. Nunya business. How it affects one person. Now listen, if it gets out of order, there is order. And I've seen people, I know they were doing it for the attention. Dance in your spot. Now Gloria just happens to be on the front row. So she's up here. But I've seen people come from halfway back and come down and dance here. dance back there where you're at. Nobody wants to watch that. I'm telling you, there's not too many white people who really can dance. And that's another thing that alcohol really adversely affects. None of you people thought you could dance back in the day. If we had cell phones back then, there'd be a lot of embarrassing videos. But I've seen the Holy Spirit fall on people that went to churches that didn't believe in the Holy Spirit. I saw one man who claimed up and down his wife was faking, but he came to church to see what she was talking about. And it was hilarious because the man was a fireman. And when the preacher laid hands on him, he went up, he said, "I'm going to find out if this is real or not." And when he laid hands on him, he went down and he got back up and he went running around that church screaming, "I'm on fire." I thought, no, that's irony, God. He's a fireman running around saying, "I'm on fire." But it got his, exactly, he got his attention. This is real. That man got radically saved. Okay? I shared with you about the Holy Spirit falling on me. Everybody went backwards. I fell forwards. I was a skeptic. You can ask her. I was one of those who was on the edge of the threshold of the door. I'm like, I'm not getting involved in any of this weird stuff. And that's what I told her from the beginning. If it's weird, I'm gone. Why? Because I'd spent 20 years in weird. I wanted solid, and weird is not solid. You can roll around on the floor all day. You can prophesy. You can have 10 words and interpretations. You can have words of whatever, of knowledge. Doesn't mean a thing if the person can't take it and apply it to their life. But that's not what the Holy Spirit came to do, so you couldn't figure it out. The Holy Spirit's real purpose is to help you, as we're about to look at here in a moment. So open your Bibles to John chapter 14. We'll start in verse 16. It says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." All right, you need to understand here, he's kind of changed person several times here. This one right in particular. This is the Father now speaking through Jesus. You need to understand, Jesus never spoke what he didn't hear his Father say. So this is the Father speaking to us. "I will not leave you an orphan. I will send you another helper." Jesus came to help. These men and women that were involved in his life daily at this point, they were greatly affected. This was before he'd even been crucified. He said, "I'm not going to leave you an orphan." So, in other words, I'm leaving you another parent type of figure to come and raise you up. Now, see, you know, many of us in here, we're all in different stages. We got grandparents, great grandparents, parents, children. It's great to see all the multi-generational thing happening. And one thing I'm discovering, you know, is my transitional role. I'm still a parent to my two younger sons, but I'm stepping into a different role with my oldest son. I'm still his parent, but I can't ground him. He'd just go home. I say, "Go to your room." He says, "No problem with that. I'll see you, Dad." But now that my role is going to change even more to be a grandfather, and I've understood this, a grandfather's role is totally different. This is going to, I mean, and I know my boys are going to like, "You were not like that with us." It's because it's a different role. I had to raise you up. But as a grandfather, I'm going to spoil the crap out of them. I'm already looking for things, you know. I found a Jeep bed. You know they make them things? It's almost the size of a Jeep. They're almost the price of a Jeep, too, so it's still in the store. Some of that stuff is expensive. But there's things I'm already thinking, okay. And by the way, I found some railroad tracks. That wide. I got 2.5 acres. There might be a choo-choo station out in my yard somewhere. I've often thought about digging into the side of the hill and making a little hobbit house or something. But, yeah, see, that's grandfather. In the reality of the truth of marriage, that's a lot of work. I don't know. But the Holy Spirit came to help us. Jesus said, I will give you another helper. Very similar in qualities, but a little different. Dried out there, pardon me. Angela and I, we're both parents. Male, female. We have very similar attributes, very similar roles, but we are different. Yesterday, we had an opportunity. We were talking about this morning. And was it this morning or last night? Last night, I think it was still. We'd done some remodeling work and to our house. And in order to accommodate the drywallers who said they could be there tomorrow, I still had two load-bearing walls to tear out and put beams in. So Friday morning, we were jumping through the hoop. And right now at the moment, I have two temporary walls holding up my upstairs. And this afternoon, we're putting in a 14-foot hand-hewn beam in place. We already got a 10-footer in. But then we're just like, we're going to put the ceiling in. So we're putting the ceiling in our vaulted area. I put the big sheet up, and we got it all up in there. And then she's up on top. We're up on these 8-foot ladders trying to force this down into place. And, you know, if you got old homes, they're never straight. Boards are bowed and sticking out in the way. And so she called Joshua. He came over and helped. We took it down, cut it, and got it up in there. But she's like, I can't hold on anymore. And I'm trying to be the supportive. I'm like, it's no problem, really. What are you whining about over? I'm like, you could do it, baby. I believe in you. I'm over on the other ladder. I'm thinking, I got to keep her focused because if she drops this, we're both coming off of these ladders. So finally, we took them down and got them. But we started talking about that. Men and women, if you ain't figured out, we're different. We have different natural strengths. And one of those for men is strength. Our strength is different. What ticks me off with men saying, oh, I can do everything a woman, or a woman can everything do a man. Listen, you cannot. Women, you are not built the same as we are. Women, you are not built the same as we are. Did I say that twice the same way? I think I did. My case in point is, I'm sick and tired of life. You wanna see what it's like, you carry this baby around on your front. You took 9 months to develop those muscles. You can't take a 10-pound baby, strap it to the front of a man, and in an hour when he's saying, oh crap, my back. It's been 9 months you were developing. The weight was gaining. You were developing strength. It's been 40 years we've been developing these upper body muscles. So it's not fair for me to yell at her because she hasn't been doing this for 40 years. Even in the Marine Corps, they didn't do pull-ups. They did what they called a hang. Are they still doing the hang? Okay, they get the choice now. But back in my day, they just held. Yeah. Four pull-ups is all you have to do, women. Or hang on the bar for like 30 seconds or a minute or something. But a guy could not do this. We can't hang. Seriously, I could do 40 pull-ups with no problem. But I couldn't hang because my muscles are built different. I'm just not going to, it's not going to work. The Holy Spirit is the same way. Very much similar, but different attributes from Jesus. You have to have Jesus, and then you have to have the Holy Spirit. So anybody that thinks that they can understand, first off, the Word without the revelation of the Holy Spirit is only fooling themselves. Okay? They're only fooling themselves. That's why so many people get goofy because, well, I see this, this, and this. I don't know what you're seeing, but you're seeing it maybe through an eye of offense. You're looking for an excuse, but you don't have the revelation from the Holy Spirit because it does not say that. Even the Greek does not back up, or the Hebrew does not back up what you're saying. So the gift, Jesus said, I'm going to send you a comforter. Somebody's going to help you. Another helper. Why do we need help? Is there anybody that needs help? Yeah. I need help every day. I need help just getting out of bed some days. I ain't going to lie. I roll out of there. I'm like, okay, who replaced my body with this old man? I don't remember aching 20 years ago like this. I'm supposed to wake up all refreshed and ready to, and raring to go. But it don't happen like that. I need a helper. And the Holy Spirit has sent me a helper. It's called Folgers in my cup. I can wake up. The Holy Spirit is there to help you. Okay? Let's go to the next scripture. John 16. Verse 5. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks, where are you going? But because I've said these things, to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. They are automatically starts thinking about themselves. He's already said he's going to send somebody. They're not looking forward in excitement. They're already in the funeral. But nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage. Say, it's to my advantage. It is to your advantage that Jesus Christ left. That I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. This is how important the Holy Spirit is. Jesus said, I have to go. I've got to go. It's to your advantage. He did it for us. His leaving was for us. His death was for us. His resurrection, hallelujah, was for us. But his leaving was for us. The Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come to you, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. The Holy Spirit never speaks of his own authority. Neither does the Holy Spirit speak of your authority. Okay? I was in a church service one time, and Phil and Cheryl were too, when I was in the hall, and I knew that day the pastor had told us that he was going to tell the congregation we were selling the building. And we needed to sell that stinking building. It was built on junk. The building was junk. We needed to start over. We needed fresh life, okay? And it wasn't going to happen in that building. And I was standing there in the hallway, and I saw this woman standing closer to me than Jerry is. Later in the service, she overheard the conversation. She was not part of it, but she overheard it. And in that during the middle, I knew the Holy Spirit spoke up and said, she's going to do it. And sure enough, she got it, started her tongues. And then she brought forth her own interpretations. You want to guess what it was? Do not sell the church. You want to know why? Because her son-in-law had helped do some of the work. Really? Now, I will tell you what came of that. It wasn't maybe a year, maybe just a little bit more than a year later, she was dead. She died. You don't take authority that is not yours. She tried to manipulate. God was trying to gracefully put that thing to bed. It needed to go. And God was stepping it down. And you know why God had to do it that way? Because I wasn't ready yet. A year later, I was ready. But he had to get rid of all of that. It had to go and raise up something new. And that's why we are here. That's why we are here, okay? He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. Now, let me just help some of you out. I know instantly you started thinking, oh, man, I'm going to know the future. Nah, it don't work that way, folks. So many people are caught up, I want to know exactly what's going to happen. There's been times the Holy Spirit shows me what's going to happen and not to do it or do something. Okay? But never does the Holy Spirit say, invest in this or play this lottery number. So many people, listen, you want to play the lottery, go for it. I'm not going to stop you. If you got a problem and you come to me and say, Pastor, I can't pay my bills because I'm gambling, stop playing the lottery. Okay? Yeah, and if you do win the lottery, make sure you tithe. I do know that there was a church, this guy won one of those big Powerball things. I mean, it was like 40 million or something nuts. I mean, 1 million would be fine with me, but he won a bunch of money. His church didn't want anything to do with him until they wanted to tithe. And then he said, well, that's fine. You're going to go through this CPA company, and you're going to jump through all their hoops to get your money, and then I'm not putting it all in the same church where I go. Which would tithe, I mean, by the time he settled out, was $25 million. He spent it. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, after taxes, we're talking about $5 million. Nah, it's a lot less. He will glorify me, for he will not take of what, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. He will glorify Jesus. Everything the Holy Spirit does glorifies God. It never draws attention to himself. Therein is a problem with a lot of revivals. They're drawing attention to the person. The Holy Spirit does not do that. He will declare what is to the Father and glorify God. Now, if you get freed, and you, so listen, the whole point, I understand, if some of the, particularly of what they called the joy revival, the laughing revival, for it was for a period. It was to bring the people to understand, people like me who needed to understand that there was joy in the Holy Ghost. And it wasn't necessary. I didn't roll around on the floor laughing. I did not. I'd laugh a little bit just because some of the people I thought were funny. But the truth of the matter is, yeah, I was laughing at them. But the truth of the matter is, what I did see is I saw people that were truly enjoying themselves. And I loosened up. Because what happened in my life, my parents were totally different. And then when they got saved, life got strangled out of them. Religion got hold of them. People said, you can't hug your children. Don't kiss your children. That kind of garbage, okay? This was religion. Religion got hold. They didn't realize how bad it had gotten. And it choked life. I was just thinking the other day, my parents were totally different when I was a child. When I was a child. Shortly after my other two siblings were born, mom and dad got saved, so they'd been maybe 3 or 4 years old. But I was 8. I remember a whole different life. I remember going to SeaWorld. I remember climbing trees with my dad. I was 3. My dad climbing big maple trees with me in tow in a little bag hanging below him. He had his lineman's hooks out, and he's climbing this tree, and I'm in this bag where he keeps all of his tools. I just thought that was the coolest thing ever, okay? But when they got saved, all that stopped because it was no more about tension. It was, you need to be doing the things of God. You need to be promoting the kingdom, brother. Hello, these are my offspring here. She's my daughter now, but this is the kingdom of God. There's the kingdom of God. There's the future. If I'm not taking care of that, what good is all of this? That's what Jesus taught. If I lose my own soul, if I lose my lineage, because all I was worried about was trying to get a few out here, keep the balls in the air, as it were, juggling, and I lose them, what profit was it to me? Absolutely none. Now, but he will take what God the Father is saying, and he will declare it to you. There is joy in the Holy Spirit. I've come to find humor in all kinds of things. I love watching people. I sit in the parking lot and I watch all kinds of people. Watch people in store. Walmart, good place to go if you want to do that. I'm going to tell you right now, just don't do it on a Friday night. I call that the witching hour. All kinds of stuff happens in Walmart. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Everything Jesus has, he's already said it's yours. We're joint heirs. You get what I have. And what I have is what the Father has. See, people only understand, they think they understand God through rules, through regulations, through rituals, through traditions. If a ritual and tradition doesn't serve any real purpose, it can go. I don't give anything up for Lent. Not one doggone thing. Because when you're giving it up, you're saying, I'm repenting of this thing that you're supposed to be giving up. How many people went back to meat? Every last one of them. They all went back to eating steak. They got sick of fish. After a while, you get sick of fish. After a while, you get sick of beef, chicken, pork. You can only eat, I can't believe I'm about to say this, but you can only eat so much bacon. And I know I just committed a major faux pas there, but I have not yet found that point. I'm still searching, yes. So the Holy Spirit has come that we may have a better life experience. Not to kill us. Not to make people want to go away from us. The whole point is if we lift up God, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men unto you. Nobody wants to go around the weirdos. Think about your family. There's at least one of them, and maybe you're it. I don't know. But there's usually one person in your family you kind of, oh, hello, I'm going to go this way. I'm going to go the long way to the bathroom because Uncle Jack or whoever, she's actually got an Uncle Jack, so I'm going to offend somebody at some point on that. Uh-oh, there's so-and-so. I'm thinking I'm going to keep my head down. They got me. Next thing you know, you see what I'm saying? And the truth of the matter is, there may be absolutely nothing wrong that they just didn't fit into everybody's mold. And the same thing is true with the Holy Spirit. Nobody wants to be around the weird church. I ain't going there. Well, weirdos flock to weirdos. Birds of a feather, you know, Pastor. Well, yeah, I understand that. I don't want to be weird. I want to be useful to God. Big difference. If God calls me to be a green apple in a world of red, then that's what I will be, but it will be a useful green apple. Do I like to stand out? Of course I do. Have you ever seen any of my vehicles? When I put the great big old Semper Fi on the back window of my truck, my neighbor said, you know what you did, don't you? I said, I know. I just marked my truck. You know exactly who you just passed when you look in the rearview mirror. Hey, there goes Pastor. It says Semper Fi on the back of his truck. My motorcycle. Did anybody ever see me out on that? You knew exactly who went by you. Usually because your windows were rattling. But it was the only bike like that one. I don't like something that everybody else has. My wife, she loves her green car. I keep trying to customize it. She's like, no, I don't want anything. The Holy Spirit comes in and says, you know what, Art, maybe you need to take a chill. She likes that. You got your truck. You do what you want to do. I can't make her customize her car. We are tinting the windows, though, a little bit. She doesn't want me, I ain't going to lie. My truck, I have to put my windows down at night to back up because I can't see the backup lights. I'm like, okay, this is dark. But in the sunshine or sunlight, I'm telling you right now, you need tinted windows. I don't get cooked on the arm anymore. This isn't all going to come up, but in Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Power, dunamis, that means the ability to do what? To be a witness. The whole thing was about being a witness for God. You will have power to be a witness. No matter what role you're in your life, whether you're a foreman, you're at the bottom of that toad, or, well, if you're at the bottom of the pile again, starting over, wherever you're at, God can use you through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can say, hey, something's not right. They're not telling you the whole truth here. You might have bit on that 1,000 times. And then one day the Holy Spirit said, something's not right. And boom, you can find out. you know how to talk to them a little bit more. Something more is in there, okay? The Holy Spirit's role in your life is to empower you, to give you the ability to overcome the things that you keep coming up against. I'm going to tell you right now, some of you struggle with some things. You want to know the best way to start overcoming it? Start praying for others. God will send people to you who are struggling with the exact same thing. Start praying for them for it. Don't pray about them. Don't start judging. You're just as dirty, you dog. And don't judge somebody else who you're not battling their fight. Until you've walked a mile in their shoes, stood in the crap they've stood in, you have no right to judge anybody. But the Holy Spirit will convict one. First off, it said the world, but that's us too. We are in the world. It will convict us of sin in our life so that we can change. It's not my job to convict you of sin. Now, when sin tries to creep into the church, it is my job to address it. We ain't having it. That's all there is to it. We'll remain small and clean. I don't want to be big and dirty. And I ain't saying big churches are dirty. I'm just saying it's harder for people to preach the truth. It really is. All of them will admit it. Because what they stand up here and they're looking at and they're looking out at the congregation, what they're seeing is if I start preaching against this stuff and start telling the truth, I'm going to lose the youth program. We've got a $5,000 a month mortgage payment. The electric bill is $7,000 a month. And that is probably no joke. We've had them up around $1,200, $1,300 here. So that's very reasonable. Okay? They start seeing that if I start running people off, there goes the church. And you know what? Well, they're not successful in their ministry. I had a guy I knew for years. He lives down the road here. I think he came once or twice. And one day he came by and he said, "Hey, everything okay at the church? Not as many cars in your parking lot." I said, "No, where I stand, everything's great." "I don't care. Some days it's packed in here. Hallelujah. Some days it's not quite so packed. Hallelujah. It's the same hallelujah. It's the same message. Not going to be moved. I'm going to preach the truth, and hopefully we get to grow. We grow together." I love it when that computer does that. But this is the primary purpose of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk, like I say, some more on gifts and things. And I'm going to talk next week about how we camp out on things that somebody said. Just because somebody said something doesn't necessarily make it true. Give you an example. We were suckered into a barbecue one time. Phil and Cheryl were there. Supposed to be a barbecue anyhow. I came for a barbecue, not a prophecy meeting. Yeah. Self-proclaimed prophet and worked for the Bureau of Unemployment Compensation. Okay. But anyhow, gave Angela a prophecy that she'd been involved in the occult, devil worship. My wife went home distraught trying to figure out where she had gotten involved. And I'm going to tell you right now, between the two of us, there's only one of us that could have even come close, because I have seen quite a few occult movies. And I'm talking horror movies that some of you would sit there, "Are you kidding me?" This girl thought because she wore a Cinderella costume at Halloween when she was 10 that she was part of the occult. That's the kind of garbage I'm going to be talking against next week. I wrote the guy off as a goofball. Like I said, you may get offended at that, but I call him as I see him. And that's goofiness. Exactly. Prophecy and words of knowledge like that are confirmation of what's going on. And we'll talk about when you're supposed to say something to somebody and when it's for you to pray for them. And the reason this is all coming up is just recently we had one of our own attacked. And I'll be honest with you, if I knew where these people were at, particularly the string pullers on the whole thing, I would punch them in the nose. That's how mad I was. Because the person called me crying because of a prophecy that was revealed. Y'all remember Job's friends? These are his friends. One of them comes to him, "It was revealed to me last night that you are in sin." Feel free to describe the thing there, or whatever your name was. It's how important you are to the whole thing. I don't remember your name. I remember Job. Besides that, his is the easy one to pronounce in that whole situation. He said the thing was dark and hairy and scary, and his own hair stood up. Well, hello. What's that tell you? When your body experiences fear, maybe you ought to pay attention to what realm it came from. But this is why I'm teaching on this stuff. I see people that have wrapped their entire lives around prophecy. If you got a word, do as Mary and Joseph did. Take it, ponder it, and place it right here, but do not live your life according to it. There's a problem when you try to live your life trying to get this goal. Prophecy is never about you attaining that goal. It's about God taking you on a journey. Okay, I'm going to give you an example, and I'm going to wrap up here, okay? Right here. Right here is where we're going, right? You're right here. God says, here's where you're going, Art. Woohoo! Yes, I can see it. I can see it. I can see it. Why is it getting further away? God, where are we going? Why are we going this way? God, what I want is getting further away. Why am I still going away from where I want to go? Because I'm not ready for what God has for me. By traveling all this, what I will find at that point, I will be able to handle. God could not put me in ministry, even though he had already called me when I was young. One man, Tim Abraham, many of you know Tim, he told me, he said, it was our pastor we had, he told me when I was 10, okay, only really been saved for, mom and dad only been saved for about a year or so, and he told Tim, he said, he will preach. I was 10. He told Tim, not me. If he had told me, at that point, I don't know what would have happened. But God started telling me little tidbits over the years. And it was only until I was in my 30s and could put tidbit A with B, C, and D to come up with start connecting the dots to the picture. But what had to happen is I, self-righteous, judgmental son of a gun, had to take a stroll. Had to take a little walk on the wild side sometimes. Go all the way around, because without that, I couldn't be up here preaching with power and mercy. And if you can't preach without mercy, you don't know what the gospel is about. And not that this is the end result. This was just to get you to this point. By the way, the more you try to help God, the longer your journey's going to be. Quit trying to help God. God will shut doors on your toes. I have prayed God to shut doors on toes because he's done them to me. I'm trying to kick that door open and all of a sudden, wham, it comes back. It's like, oh, that wasn't smart. Why? And I always tell people, you want to know why God shut a door? Look for a window. It's not for you to crawl through, thief. I said that to somebody. Well, I'm not a thief. I don't crawl through windows. Windows are to look through, Einstein. Look through a window. You walk through a door. Unless you're a thief, right? Look through the window and watch what was going to happen. And praise God that you weren't involved. I look back at, I ain't going to lie, some of the girls I've dated. Thank you, Jesus, that you shut my toes in the doors. That's all I can say. I got blessed. Don't know that I deserved it, but I got it. So we're going to talk about some of that next week. I know I just talked a whole bunch on it today. But we got more. Because this stuff has been going on since the 40s. And in the 70s, it started gaining traction again. The 80s, it really started building back up in what we called prophylying groups. I call them prophylying groups. And then they're still around. I thought maybe they had died. But that's where this person of our family here in this church got attacked, was from one of these prophylying groups. Listen, you three or four people sitting around, you start prophesying to each other. You can even ask Joanne. God give her a word for somebody, and she remembered from way back then. I said, you got a word for somebody in this church, you bring it to me first. You don't go to them. They're my responsibility. And if you harm them, you might be the one getting punched in the nose. Because this stuff hurts. And every time she has said, Pastor, I have a word, she tell me, we go to the person. And if it doesn't bear witness, I say, if it doesn't bear witness, just put it over here. And if it's something you're hoping for, put it right here. Keep living life. Life goes on whether there's this up here. Jesus is going to return. We don't know when. So many, I feel sorry for people that camp out. Jesus has returned. Jesus has returned. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to go out and have a life. I'm going to live 80 years on this planet and not enjoy it. The 27th. You know what I say to that? If it does, hallelujah, I get to see Jesus. Who cares if it does? The Mayan calendar ran out. You know what? Y'all remember how that actually ended? They didn't think they needed to go any further right then. That was why it stopped. Yeah. The guy that was the scribe got tired of chiseling. He's like, crying out loud, we're 2,000 years beyond where we're at now. I'm not going to be around. Who cares? All right, let's stand. God loved you too much to leave you as an orphan. You're not here trying to live this life on your own. You've got the power of the Holy Spirit, and He will help you. He will. If you ask Him, I'm promising you, He will lead you and guide you. But He's not that loud screaming voice saying, hello, hello, look at me, look at me. He's the one over here, exactly, he's quiet. He's over here tugging on you, saying, hey, Art, come on, don't do that. You know better than that. I don't know if the Holy Spirit actually told me or not. The other day I drove off. I had to wash these beams off, so I threw them in the back of my truck, took them to the car wash. But I had my 20-volt DeWalt impact, and I laid it down on the beam and my little box of bits. I drove down the road. I only get to the gas or the car wash and see the toolbox there. I was like, I'd have much rather lost the toolbox than the $150 impact with a $90 battery. I told Angela, I said one thing. I said two. One, I said, I believe somebody out there needed it more than I did. That's where I'm going to stand. I ain't getting goofy. That's what I'm telling myself. Otherwise, I will cry. I'm a tool guy. Do you understand? I love my tools. Two, I said, Father's Day is coming, and Lowe's and Home Depot, and they all put them on sale. I can get a brand new one for $90. I'm not going to camp out on it. I will buy another one. But, oh well, somebody got blessed. And I had to think, she's like, well, how much stuff have you found on the road? Yeah, I guess it is the circle of life. That's only the second thing I've ever lost off of my truck. The other one was a stepladder, and by the time I got back, somebody got it. I don't blame them. I'd pick up a fiberglass stepladder too. Somebody got blessed. God brought me the sale back around where I got it for $45 again. No need camping out, crying and boo-hooing about stuff. You'll get over it. Just a tool. Besides that, I'm believing it was the bad battery anyhow. Anybody with power tools knows what I'm talking about. You got that one. Oh, yeah, it's charged. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You and we praise You for this day. Lord God, we truly do thank You for the gift of Your Holy Spirit. Father, that You sent another helper to help us live in this world, to be witnesses to You. Father God, not to draw attention to us, not to make us goofy, but to help us live a holy life before you. Now, Father, I pray that even this week, as people's hearts are beginning to stir about the Holy Spirit, Father, those who have not been filled with the Holy Spirit, but they desire it, Father, I pray that you fill them, Father, those that desire to understand more and more of your word, Father, that you fill them with your Holy Spirit. Father, if they desire to pray in tongues, Father, that you fill them and help them to open their mouth and let that utterance flow. But Father, I thank you and praise you first and foremost that you are helping them to grow and be better people, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, Father, bosses, workers, co-workers, whatever their role is in life, Father, that you would help them in this. And now, Father, I am truly grateful for them. I bless them, Father. I know that you'll open opportunities for them, Father, as they seek you. So, Father, bless them. Open their eyes to these in Jesus' name. Amen.